Continue this morning in our study of the parables of Jesus Christ. The sermon outline as well as the discussion questions for tonight's K groups are found here in the bulletin insert. This morning it is our Stewardship Sunday, and we're going to turn to the subject of kingdom wealth. Wealth or money was one of our Lord's favorite subjects. Scripture reading this morning is found in Luke chapter 12. We'll be reading verses 13 through 21. Will you stand with me now for the reading of God's holy word? Luke chapter 12 at verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do, for I have nowhere to store my crop?' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever.'" Will you pray with me? Our Father, come now and be our teacher by your Holy Spirit. Bear your word into our hearts. Cause us each one to trust you more, and to trust ourselves and our money far less. For Jesus' sake, amen. You may be seated. Last week, Jesus told a parable in response to a question that came from one of his disciples, Peter, and now the request, we're told, comes from someone in the crowd. He wants Jesus to kind of referee a dispute between him and his brother over an inheritance. Notice, first of all, Jesus doesn't quite act on the man's request. In fact, he says, "Who appointed me to be a judge over your affairs?" But Jesus does discern, as he always does, what's going on in this man's heart. You see, his problem was not the situation of the inheritance. His problem was not even the selfishness that probably existed in his brother's heart. The problem that this man had was the greed or the covetousness in his own heart. What we do and what we say is not caused by the people or the situations that are around us. Our behavior is always controlled by the desires that rule in our own hearts. Out of the overflow of a man's heart, his mouth speaks. Those are the words of Jesus. Now, because Jesus sees the greed that is in this man's heart, he begins to teach us, along with him, about the poverty of our possessions. We have a way, don't we, of defining a person in terms of his or her possessions. If he's got a lot of possessions, well, we call him rich. If he has only a few, well, we might say that he's poor. Jesus teaches us here, however, that things are different in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, people are not defined in terms of their possessions, because, number one, our possessions are not earned. It's very telling, of course, that this dispute is over an inheritance. Neither one of these two men had earned that inheritance. Unfortunately, many people see an inheritance as something that is due them, something they've got coming to them, an inheritance that is something that belongs to them, even though they haven't done a bit of work to earn it. It's the kind of dispute that introduces this parable is all too common, unfortunately. Families are ripped apart when it comes to dividing up the estate of their parents. Often it's not even about money, because the money is usually fairly carefully defined in the will. Disputes or hard feelings in families come more often over possessions, furniture, paintings, china, silverware, you name it, and families have been ripped up over it. Brothers and sisters estranged for life over a dinner plate or a dining room chair. None of us earns an inheritance from our parents. None of us earns an inheritance from our heavenly Father. Not one of our possessions is earned or deserved according to God's word. None of our possessions are owned. All of them are loaned from our heavenly Father. The biblical principle, of course, is stewardship and not ownership. A steward is one who manages the property that belongs to someone else for the benefit of that someone else. A steward is given a trust by the owner, and it's required from those who have been given a trust that they be found faithful. That's 1 Corinthians 4 at verse 2. Now, our possessions might make us look rich in the eyes of the world, but according to Jesus, those same possessions might cause poverty for us in the kingdom of God. Unless we recognize that they are not earned, and then that our possessions are not really to be enjoyed in some kind of an ultimate sense. Watch out, Jesus says, be on your guard against all kinds of covetousness or greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. What is greed? Well, greed is an attitude that lodges deep down in my heart. It's kind of a thirst for having more than I have, a thirst that can never be quenched. Greed is kind of like trying to quench my physical thirst by drinking seawater. You know, the more salt water I drink, the thirstier I become. Greed is an attitude that not only infects the rich, but people at all levels of income are infected by it. People at all levels believe if they just had a little bit more, they'd have a little more joy in life. It's an attitude of our heart. It's a thirst for having more. But, you know, we can talk about those people out there, but we ought to be thinking about the people in here. Because, you see, greed can affect the people of God as well. Greed causes you and it causes me to look sideways in church, to compare my possessions with the possessions of someone else. Greed also has probably caused some of us to harbor some bitterness toward members of our own families over an inheritance. Watch out. Be on your guard, Jesus says, against all kinds of greed. Question for each of us this morning: am I a greedy person or am I a giving person? How do I know? Well, there are times in all of our lives when we're kind of by ourselves, daydreaming, fantasizing, sort of wishful thinking, planning out my future. do I find myself, particularly as we say in these days of economic uncertainty, do I find myself wishing I had more? More money, more things. You know, the only antidote for those kinds of thoughts and that kind of greed is giving and sharing. Don't give to this church because you think somehow that God needs your money. Don't give even if you think the church needs your money. You and I need to give because it's the only way that we can counterbalance the greed, the selfishness that is so much a part of our sinful hearts. Jesus said, very simply, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. That's not just a warning about having a wrong view of who owns things. It's more than a warning about where I'm to look for my satisfaction. The danger of greed, I think, is even greater. You know, greed, I said, is an attitude of my heart, and our hearts are designed for worship. The real danger of this poverty of possessions comes from the tendency that we all have to exchange the truth about God for a lie, to worship and serve created things rather than the Creator. That's Romans 1:25. Our possessions, brothers and sisters, tend to trap us. We think more about our things than we think about God, than we think about other people. Because, you see, you and I like nice things. We love those nice things. Little by little, we come to worship those nice things. And when I begin to do that, I've exchanged the truth about God for a lie. No one can serve two masters, Jesus said. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot love both God and money. Have things become your God? Do things in my life, in your life, make it harder for us to see God, harder for us to hear God, harder for us to worship God? Watch out, be on your guard, Jesus says. And then he tells a parable to reinforce his warning. A parable about a man who had everything. It's a parable about the robbery of riches. Many rich people are very concerned about being robbed, and so they spend some of their hard-earned money on elaborate security systems. But I think what Jesus is telling us here is that riches can end up robbing us of something far more important than the riches themselves. The parable begins here with the temptation of his success. It says, the ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. Success always brings with it a certain temptation. The temptation to forget about God. Who needs God after all when things are going so well for me? This certain rich man would have denied that God had given him success. He'd plowed the fields, he'd planted the seeds, he'd tended the crops, he'd brought in the harvest. Well, he was a rich man. He probably hired other people to do that. But make no mistake, he felt like he had earned what he had the old-fashioned way. He'd earned it all by himself. But Jesus didn't see it that way. Jesus didn't say a certain man worked very hard all his life, and he accumulated a fortune. He says the ground of that rich man produced a good crop. Who made the ground? Who makes things grow? God does. And yet this man was giving no thought to God. He thought only of himself. Jesus will later call this man a fool, but he's already exhibiting the symptoms, isn't he? Because the fool says in his heart, there is no God. The man was tempted by his success to forget about God, and so are we. And then we see that he began to trust in himself. This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and I'll store my grain and my goods. You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. Now he is beginning to be given over to his own selfishness. The word or the pronouns I or my occur 12 times in this brief parable. Jesus calls this man a rich man, but you see, rich is a relative term. Nowhere that I'm aware of does the Bible condemn being rich. The Bible does condemn trusting in ourselves. We're all tempted, one time or another, to trust in ourselves. The temptation of his success, the trust of himself, there's a downward spiral going on in this man's life. And this robbery of riches results finally here in the theft of his own soul. You fool, God says, this very night your life will be demanded from you. You see, forgetting about God, trusting in myself, tends to make me think that I have all the time in the world. Oh, I know people die, but not me. I've got all the time in the world. When I forget about God, when God's out of the picture, well, I'm in control. Man thought he had many years to enjoy this good life and all these things that he'd laid up, but God had other plans. Now, you and I can choose to believe that there is a God and that he is in control, or we can choose not to believe that, but you know, it really doesn't make any difference. It doesn't influence God one bit. He has plans. He has a will, and he's going to carry it all out, regardless of whether you and I believe it or not. And so God says to him, you fool, this very night your life is required of you. Jesus says, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet to lose or forfeit his very self? You and I are often deceived by riches. I mean, we envy, in some ways, the lifestyles of the rich and the famous. In our first parable that Russ shared with us a couple of weeks ago, some of that sower seed fell among the thorns. Jesus said those thorns represented the worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth. Wealth is deceitful just to the degree that you and I believe it's kind of a cure for all of the worries of this life. That's what chokes out the Word of God in our lives, buying into that lie. The ultimate deceit is that we don't realize the danger involved in all of this. Riches have a way of stealing my very soul. Two men met on a street one day. It was a small town, and they got to talking about a wealthy man in that town who had just died. And the one man asked the other man, well, how much money did he leave? And the second man said, of course, all that he had. You know, one day you and I are going to leave it all behind. And we're going to stand naked before our Creator, and we're going to give an account of how we use the possessions that he has entrusted to us. Did we use those possessions for him, or did we somehow fall into this trap of worshiping those possessions instead of the one who made them? In contrast to this poverty of possessions, the robbery of riches, stands that one who is the source and the giver of all kingdom wealth. We come finally to the generosity of God. God is not only the source of everything, but he is incredibly generous. And he has been especially rich toward those of you who are Christians. The Lord richly blesses all who call on him. Romans 10 at verse 12. Ephesians 2:4, God is rich in mercy. Ephesians 1:18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Or do you show contempt, Romans 2:4, for the riches of his kindness, his tolerance, and his patience? And of course, this generosity of God is centered in our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 4:19 tells us that my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Those riches are beyond measure. You can't begin to count them. In fact, the Bible says in Ephesians 3 that they are the unsearchable riches of Christ. This one who has been so very rich toward us as believers ends the parable with these words. This is how it will be for anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God. When you even begin to think how rich God has been toward us, can we be anything less than rich toward him? What does it mean to be rich toward God? Well, I think it means, first of all, that we are rich in faith. James puts it this way. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith, to inherit the kingdom that he promised to those who love him? Are you rich in faith this morning? Have you put your whole trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior from sin, as the Lord of your life? Are you rich in that faith? And then being rich toward God, I think, means being rich in good deeds. Over in 1 Timothy, it says, Paul writes to Timothy, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. We know a little more about that today, don't we? But to put their hope in God. I wonder how many of us this morning are thanking God for this economic uncertainty because we're learning to trust him more. You think it's an accident? I don't. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age. We're talking about eternal stewardship, laying up treasure for the coming age, laying up treasure in heaven. How do we do that? Well, I think it begins by making a commitment. We're asking you to make a commitment on a pledge card this morning, but I'm talking on a much broader scale than that. I'm talking about a commitment to serve God alone rather than trying somehow to serve both God and money. I think a lot of us as American Christians have been trying to do that for too long. And we're in a day today where that's becoming, and it may become even harder for us to do. We've got to make a commitment to serve God alone. And then I think most of us, myself included, need to make a confession. A confession of our own greed and covetousness, our pride, our trusting in ourselves, our bank accounts, our 401ks. We need to confess that we've been doing that. Confession like that will allow these riches of God that I've been talking about to flow more freely into your heart and my heart. Blessed are the poor in spirit, Jesus said, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Wow. That's a real inheritance. That, after all, is kingdom wealth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Just as applicable, just as clear today as that day when you first spoke it to that man who came to you to divide an inheritance with his brother. Oh Lord, teach me, teach us what it means in new ways to trust you. Trust you in this life, to trust you for the life to come, to trust in those kingdom riches that we have in you alone. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let's stand for the benediction. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.